Today and the next couple of Sundays are important as we jump into a series called Just Thanks. Really is that simple, just thanks, because I want to be a person who is grateful. November, specifically the Thanksgiving season, affords us an opportunity to talk about what really matters. And I think sometimes we need to be reminded to be thankful. Why do I need to be reminded? I mean, we're not children today. We have great church kids going on and just dismissed our middle schoolers, and sometimes we feel like we're reminding them. What do you say, you know, when someone does something for them or someone gives something to them? We're reminding them to show appreciation. What do you say? And they offer those words, thank you. But even as adults, I think we are challenged to be reminded to be thankful. Why is that? It's because there has been a culture shift. We have people who are so upset. We have so many things that are happening. We almost feel jaded in a way, or feel like sometimes the world owes us something. And I think sometimes we lose our perspective on what it really means to be thankful. Let me ask you this today. Would you say that you are a positive person? How many would say, you know what, I think I'm a fairly positive person. Look at hands all over the room. Everyone sees themselves as being positive. No one sees themselves as being negative. No one sees themselves as being ungrateful. We see ourselves as positive people. And that doesn't mean that we are not positive people. But let me ask you this question. If everyone is positive, why does society sound so negative? If there are this many positive people in the room today, why is it? How is it that we could ever hear the sort of ungrateful idea so prevalent in the world today? It's almost as though complaining has become an art form. We complain about everything. We fuss about everything. We complain about the weather. Just a few weeks ago, it was too hot. Y'all were miserable. It was so hot. And now this morning, people are saying it's too cold, or it's too dry, or it's been raining too much. It seems like no matter what is happening, we want it the other way. We want it the opposite of what it is currently. Or we go to the restaurant, and I mean, we enter the restaurant, and they greet us with hellos. They set us down at tables and bring silverware to us and make sure that our tea glass is always filled. They wait on us. They clean our dishes, and yet we leave saying, well, that really wasn't what I wanted. Always something to complain about. Our cars live in garages. Some of them literally talk to us. They have cars now that will park for you. Just push a button and it will parallel park into the space so that you don't have to think about it, so that you don't even have to worry with it. Just allow the car to park for you, but then we complain that it gets bad gas mileage. It's always something to complain about. We have a kitchen pantry that is full, and yet we declare there is nothing to eat. We have TVs with hundreds of channels, but we say there's nothing to watch. We walk into our closet and touch dozens and dozens of blouses or shirts or jeans or dresses, and what do we tell those that will listen? I have nothing to wear. What is it? What is it about this idea that we are comfortable with complaining? You see, by nature, I'm not grateful. I would imagine that probably you might say the same, and I'm going to define that a little bit because, wait a minute, what do you mean you're not grateful? I say thank you to everyone. What is grateful? Grateful in the sense that I want more. I want better. And most importantly, I want it now. I want it now. I want it to happen right now in my life. I want this instant gratification. Maybe you are the same way. You want more. You want better, and you want it now. And it's not that I don't say thank you, because I think there's a difference in being appreciative and being grateful. I can say thank you for the service that you provide me, and I can genuinely feel that in my heart. But am I really grateful? Am I grateful when grateful is defined as being obsessed with developing a heart of gratitude? I mean, I want my heart to be grateful for the things that are happening in my life. I want to choose gratitude. I want to choose to be a thankful person. I want to make thanks great again. I want to make gratefulness the most important thing again. I want to make sure that I'm not at odds with people and always complaining about the things that are happening in life, but I want my heart to be overflowing with gratitude. And the tragedy is that many people will not choose that. Oh, it's a struggle. I guarantee you it is a struggle. There is something to be upset about every single day. There is something to be frustrated with every single day. There's something to get angered about or offended by. There's something that happens all the time that could just easily push us right back into that attitude of offense or that place of complaining. But how do I rise above that? How do I get beyond that? Let me read a story in Luke 17 today. Luke 17, beginning at verse number 11. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance. Verse 13, they're crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." I'm going to be in this text again next Sunday, and I'm going to take time to really preach this story and break this story down for you. Today, if you will, I want to make a case for thanks, but I at least want to use this story and this text as a backdrop, because here are these leprous men, 10 of them. Leviticus chapter 13 tells us that they wear these torn clothes. They cover their lower faces in an effort to try to keep from spreading any germs. And when anyone comes anywhere near them, or if they get near any other person, they have to announce that they are unclean. I mean, they are living this miserable, difficult life. This leprosy is a flesh-eating disease. Verse 14, he looked at them and said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." Jesus looks at them and says this, "And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, 'Praise God!' He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. The man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?'" Where are the other people that I touched? Where are the other people that I helped? How in the world, out of 10, would only one be thankful or allow their heart to be filled with gratitude? How do you and I make sure? How do you and I ensure that we have hearts that are grateful hearts? I want to give you three statements that if you can apply these to your life, if I can apply these to my life, then I can make thanks great again. And I believe that this Sunday, November the 11th, can be the beginning of an incredible season. The next few weeks toward the end of 2018 can be the best weeks, the best portion of 2018 if we will make thanks great again. So how do I do that? Number one, I know every good thing I have comes from God. You ought to write this down, because I promise you, you will get an opportunity to doubt this week. Something will happen. Some challenge will arise. Some difficulty will present itself. Some news will come in on your phone or in your mailbox, and you will question whether or not this is true. But this statement will help you make thanks great again. I know every good thing I have comes from God. James 1:17 says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Every good thing I have, It comes to us from God, our Father. Anything good I have comes from God. And you say, no, wait a minute, it's me. It's me every day that gets up and puts on those steel-toed boots. It's me every day that drives that truck. It's me every day that swings that hammer. I know some of what I have is because of my hard work. I get it. I don't disagree with that. But who gave you the strength to do the hard work? Came from God. So everything that I have ultimately come. No, wait a minute. I you know how many hours a week I went to school, how many years I invested to get this degree? Do you know how long it took me to get that title or to get those letters to come after my name? Do you know what I've been through? Yes. But who gave you the intelligence to work the process? Who gave you the ability to equate the math? Who gave you the ability to understand the blueprints or to create them? It was God. Every good thing I have comes from God, because God is a giver of good things. You remember God gave Noah a plan for the ark, gave him the ability to build the ark and to save his family. God gave the Israelites bread in the morning, and then he gave them a pillar of fire by night. God gave David a stone to kill Goliath, gave Jonah a fish to swallow him and take him to shore. God gave the Virgin Mary the faith to obey and give birth to Jesus. God gave the wise men a star to lead them. God gave the world the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of God, a Savior. God gives you a peace that passes understanding. The Holy Spirit to convict us, strengthen, and encourage. He gives you His Word to guide you. And you know what? God has given us health to bless us, friends to love us, and life for us to enjoy. Here's the reality. God is completely good. He's completely good. God will never not be good. I think that's a double negative and it's not allowed, but God will never not be good. You know what? God is constantly good. That means God could never be less than good. God is unchangeably good, which means everything our God does is good. Are you hearing me today? God is good. He's good. You're saying, but wait a minute, God allowed this to happen in my life, or God allowed that to happen in my life, and maybe he did allow this to happen or allow that to happen. But guess what? While you may not be able to see it now, you may not recognize that whatever is working in your life is actually working for your good. God is still good. He's completely good. He's constantly good, and he is unchangeably good. I feel like he deserves some praise in this room today. God is good. He's good. He's good. What if I would approach him that way? What if I would look at him through that lens and through that filter that God is good? Number two, the second statement that will make thanks great again in my life is this: I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. Ecclesiastes 6 and 9 says, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. I've always loved that verse because there's so much wisdom in it. Better is the sight of the eyes. In other words, what I see is better than what I'm just wondering about and not even recognizing what it is that I have in my life, or what is right in front of me, or who is in my house, or what I possess right now. If I'm always wanting something else, if I'm always wanting someone else, if I'm always thinking that what I have is not enough, then it will rob me. It will rob me of what I already possess, what God has already given to me, and what God has already done in my life. But God, here's the truth, and this is true today, it'll be true tomorrow, it'll be true next Sunday, it'll be true next year. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. It's not a message against dreaming. This is not a message against reaching for the best. This is not a message opposed or antithetical to desiring. The Bible says to seek the best gifts. I'm going to seek all of that and reach for all of that. Educate myself, better myself, do everything I can to elevate my life. But I am not going to miss what I have because I'm uncontented. And I'm always wanting something else. I'm always having to have something else out there in life. I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. Because it's not happy people who are grateful. It's grateful people who are happy. Can I say that again? I want to make sure you got that. It's not happy people who are grateful. It's grateful people who are happy. And the truth is, happiness should not be attached to stuff. In this very materialistic society, in this ultra-filtered, selfie-driven society, this very consumeristic society, we attach happiness to stuff. If I could just have Kim Kardashian's life. I don't want Kim Kardashian's life or her behind. But that's what's constantly in our face. That's what's constantly promoted to us. Don't look that up, by the way. You're going to see something. You don't look it up. What's he talking about? We constantly have this put in front of us to say, this is what living is all about. This is what life is all about. This is where it's at. You know, my boy, he's getting into cars, you know, and seeing different cars. And the other day we were coming I don't know, from Conyers back into Covington, and we were almost at our exit, and I saw a car coming. I was already toward the exit lane, slowing down, and I saw a car coming in my side mirror, and I knew that this was not a Volkswagen. This was not a Hooptie. This was not a car held together by baling wire. And I said, "Jude, look left." And as soon as he looked left, he said, "No way, not in Covington." It was this gorgeous Ferrari. I don't know where the guy was going. I don't know what he didn't stop. If he'd have pulled off in Covington, I'd have followed him, invited him to church. He seemed to keep on going. I don't know where he was going, but it was a gorgeous car, $400,000 or so. But for the next few moments, you know, it just got us talking about cars, and then got my boy Google and looking up maybe what exact, nothing wrong with that. I like all of that. It's fun to look at that and see those kinds of things. But you know what? If he makes up in his mind that his first car has to be a Ferrari, well, first of all, he's going to be very disappointed. And wanting that would rob him of the hoopty I've got in mind for him. Son, you better not get on the interstate in this car. You better stay on them side roads. You can find some dirt roads, get on those, because that's going to be better. No, I can want so much, and it robbed me of my ability to be happy with where I am. I've done a lot of travel around the world and have been in developing nations, and I'm always amazed when I'm there and I'm miserable. There's just part of me that's miserable. Y'all can say missions trips are fun and just pray for me, but when I'm in places like that, I'm generally miserable because I don't have my comforts. There was one of my Facebook friends the other day that was just, you know, for weeks he's been building up. I'm going on a missions trip. I'm going on missions. Pray for me. I got to get this shot. I got to get that shot. I'm on my way to missions, you know. I'm on my way to just really give my life. And he finally landed and finally got there. And his status was that he was eating at Outback Steakhouse. Bud, you not on missions if you're at Outback Steakhouse somewhere in the world. But when I've been in places like that where literally there was nothing to eat, or you're struggling just to survive, or trying to figure out how you're going to get through the day, and here are all these people around you, people that are native to that land, people who just have the biggest smiles on their face. They're just happy. They're just overjoyed. They don't even know they're missing. They don't even know that they're living without. They don't even know that they don't have what it is that has completely spoiled me, and they're just excited because what they have is enough. They've found happiness right there. If you attach your happiness to stuff, if you do not get the stuff, then you don't get the happiness. So you can't attach happiness to stuff, because stuff may come and stuff may go. There's people in this room that's had a whole lot of money, and people in this room that's probably lost a whole lot of money. If you're dependent on that for your happiness, it's going to rise and fall with how good the day is or how good the market is going. If you attach happiness to that's why I can't do that. My gratitude has to turn what I have into enough. Again, it's not happy people who are grateful. It's grateful people who are happy. Philippians chapter 4 says, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content." Content. Underline that word in your Bible. I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That's what Paul said. I've been up and I've been down. I've been in, I've been out. I've had plenty and I've had nothing. It doesn't matter. My happiness is not attached to that stuff. My happiness is in Jesus Christ. And that leads us to the third statement that will make thanks great again in our lives. I'll turn every blessing I have into praise. What would happen if we turned every blessing we have into praise? You may be sitting here today saying, you know what? I got this going wrong and that going wrong. And this is a problem and that's a problem. And over here's an issue and over there's an issue. I'm surrounded by circumstances. I'm just surrounded. Circum is circle, and stances comes from stand. I'm just standing. I'm just going, and there is nothing to be happy about. Guess what? As bad as it may be in your life right now, it could be worse. Do we realize that? I'm not trying to be flippant about what's happening in your life. Please don't let me be misunderstood or say anything that is easily misunderstood, because I'm not being flippant about your circumstances, because they are real and they are legitimate and they are overwhelming at times. But guess what? If I'm here, even if I'm not feeling good in my body, I could be dead. So what would happen if I turn every blessing I have into praise? Every single one. The truth is this: every blessing I don't turn back to praise turns into pride. If I don't give God thanks for what He's done in my life, I start thinking that I did it. And if I keep thinking that I did it, then sooner or later I don't have any need for Jesus in my life, because I'm thinking I'm all that. This is supposed to be a real positive message, but y'all kind of pulling it out of me today. Count your blessings one by one. List them, write them out, type them into your phone. You say, yeah, that's me. I've just been complaining too much. I've just been feeling some kind of way too much. I've been down here in pity party land for too long. I've just been kind of feeling this and feeling that for too long. What is that? Is that just life? Sometimes it is life, but many times it's the devil who wants to get you in a position of ungratefulness and unthankfulness. Sometimes it's the enemy that just wants to beat you down so much that you think there is nothing to praise God for, nothing to worship the Lord for. Psalm 63:4 said, I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. Not just going to praise in good times, I'm going to praise at all times. Not just going to worship when things are right or things are perfect or when things are good. I'm going to worship you at all times. So if I'm like Paul in Philippians 4, saying my stomach is empty, my bank account is empty, my kids aren't where they're supposed to be, I'm still going to worship you, because if I know if I get the stomach full, if I get the bank account replenished, if I get my kids back home, it's going to be because Jesus did it. So why would I X him out of the equation? Why would I curse God when I need Him to fix the thing that I'm unhappy about? Why would I give up on God when I need Him to work out the situation that is working me over? I'll turn every blessing I have into praise. Sometimes I just need my perspective adjusted. My wife always nags me. She's a great cook. Talking about your wife, not mine. She can't hear me. Shh, shh, shh. My husband won't take out the trash. But he's a great protector. These kids make me crazy. Watch it. They'll change your diaper one day. We've told our parents, y'all better just die. I'm kidding. you gotta work on the perspective sometimes. Here's an exercise we all can do. Just pretend you lost what you have. Just pretend you lost. Is it like Job? Is it like one of those kind of situations where everything, just pretend you lost everything that you have, and then you get it all back. Your house, friends, your car, your job. I'm tired of this old car, but you know what it's getting me from point A to point B? This house is so small, but you know what? It doesn't take a whole lot to cool it. Light bill is low. This house is always a wreck, but I'm thankful for these healthy brats, I mean kids, that are making the mess. I'm always busy with these kids. I'm thankful that I'm healthy enough to keep up. I don't like my job until I don't have it anymore. It's just perspective. Perspective. Psalm 103 says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles." I made note of that, Pastor Darrell. I'm going to quote that as soon as things turn around in my life. No, don't wait. I'm going to print that out, and I'm going to be ready to give that praise just as soon as things happen for the good in my life. Listen, we've all felt the not enough. Things are bad. The invitation to misery feelings. Plenty of times, every single one of us have felt it. From the man preaching all the way to the back wall, every single one of us have felt it. We don't have to live there. You may be surrounded by people who won't challenge your complaining. You may be around people that they complain to. And the reality is you'll have to work. You'll have to fight to live a grateful life. Because the enemy wants you wanting. He wants you to be unsatisfied and blaming God for everything that isn't working right in your life. Because if he can get you blaming God for the way that your life is going, then eventually you will walk away from God. And his goal has been reached to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Is anybody hearing the word of the Lord today? So what do I do? What do I do? I remember that every good thing I have comes from God. I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. And I'll turn every blessing I have into praise. Father, I pray today for people in this room. Hearts and lives, minds, emotions, feelings and facts. Good and bad, up and down. No matter where we are, we have some reason to be thankful. Got dozens of people in our lives. We're focused on the one who gets on our nerves. It's all we can think of. What would happen, Lord, if I would stop focusing on the negative? What would happen if I would count all of my blessings? Not just take inventory, not just to create a profit and loss statement in my life, but to make sure that I've given you praise for all that you've done in my life. I feel your call, your directive, your command in my life. Me personally, I feel your call to become grateful again, content with this stage, content with where I am. Oh, I'm dreaming, I'm praying, I'm asking, I'm knocking, but I'm grateful for all that you've done in my life.